Well, good morning, Thrive Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. I'm so glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. My name is Pastor Sheldon Miles. Just got back from Moldova. I'm a little, you might look in my eyes and see a little blurriness. I got back into our house at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Thank you, Jesus, for one extra hour to sleep in. Hallelujah. So I just want to say to all of our, if you're a guest here today, we're so glad that you're worshiping with us, all those who are watching online. And I just want to say to you that wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome, you are accepted, and you are loved. Can we just give a round of applause for our guests this morning? We're so glad you're here. And if you are a teenager here this morning, it's been requested that I tell you 6'7". I just got one thing to say to you, 8'9". All right, I don't know what that means, but so glad that you're here. The video that we just watched here, I talked a few weeks ago about, we've been in a sermon series called Do Something. And we watched a video of a man named Hal Donaldson who runs a ministry, started a ministry called Convoy of Hope. And this ministry is literally changing the world. I promise you right now, they are boots on the ground in Jamaica right now after that terrible hurricane that went through. And it's one of those organizations that's changing the world. And one of the things that they do is they feed children. They feed children who are in third world countries who are not getting education, but so they are working through the schools of these third world countries and saying, hey, if you would come to school, we will feed you. And so they have a child's feeding program. I was in Haiti, I forget, maybe 12, 15 years ago. I went to the country of Haiti and I saw it in action, feeding hundreds of children. And it was so powerful because now these children are being educated with the hope that one day they can help their country work out of some of their problems that they're engaged in. And it's simply just a powerful thing. And so they have a one-day challenge. And I put this out to you the other week, and we're going to take, on November 16th, we're going to take a one-day offering. And this is what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm going to challenge you to pray about giving one day of your wages to feed the life of a child. For 1 year, for $125, you can feed a child for 1 year. 1 year. Last year, we put out this challenge to the church, and I was hoping, like, hey, like $13,000. This church raised $23,000. You impacted 185 students. That is more than, well, last year, that was last year. Your school has increased because they combined schools. But last year, my wife is a teacher at Franklin Elementary, and that was more students than the students that attend Franklin Elementary. And so our goal this year is we want to feed 200 children for a year at $125. And so I'm just going to ask that you would think and pray about that. Pray about giving towards this one-day challenge, and we're really excited about that. We've been in a sermon series called Do Something, and the Apostle James tells us this in James 1:22. He says, but don't just listen to God's word, but do what it says. And so the challenge is here is, Christians, Jesus followers, let's just not be hearers of the word. Let's just not just come to church and hear like, oh, that was such a wonderful message. I just love listening to this podcast. I just love listening to this worship music. But James is telling it, don't be stuck there, but do something. Look at your neighbor and say, do something. Do something. And this morning, I want to recognize a team. I'm going to ask right now if the downtown shelter team would begin to make their way up here. And if you guys would line up, if you know who you are, Denise Oleg, if you get your team together, the downtown shelter team. Let me tell you what's going on here. Last spring, the city of Wausau requested help. They requested help all throughout the city. They went to churches and volunteer organizations and say, hey, listen, we are going to have a homeless shelter downtown at the United Methodist Church, but we need some help from the community. And so Denise Oleg, she's coming up here, she came to me and said, Pastor, we got to do something. We have to do something. Look at your neighbor and say, do something. We've got to do something. And she requested that we put together a team of people to do something every Tuesday. And since then, this team has only grown. I think it was only just a few people that was on this team before. And this is a team of people from your church who are consistently at the downtown mission every Tuesday night serving the least of these in our community. Can we just give them a round of applause right now? These are folks who said, I don't want to be just a hearer of the word. I want to be a doer of the word. And Denise, would you come over here? And you got the microphone, and you have some people who are going to speak to you here. But I want to ask you, Denise, I got a couple questions for you guys. What compelled you to do this?
I think my eyes were opened last winter when the shelter across the parking lot was going full strength, and some of the folks that were in the shelter came to our church on Sunday, and my eyes were open, and God said, what are we going to do? What we do to the least of our brothers, we do to Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's what opened my eyes, and I think the eyes of many, and that's what started the call.
Yeah, and so I've been down there a couple times and visited with you guys as you are serving our community, and I know some of you have just shared with me how this has impacted your life. Does somebody have a testimony? I know you had a couple people who are going to share of somebody who this has truly impacted. You getting involved in this ministry has impacted your life. Tell us who you are.
My name is Mark Crasium. I've been coming here for almost 2 years now, actually. How has this impacted me? I think it's kind of the other way around. They've had an impact on the guests there have had an impact on me, just the kind of hope that it takes and the kind of courage that it takes to be struggling and to be able to share that with somebody else. The amount of courage that takes is unbelievable. And, you know, Pastor Sheldon talked about hope a couple weeks ago in his sermon. We can find hope in Jesus Christ. And if we can just be part of that while we're serving and give that hope of Jesus Christ to those guests over there and let them know that it's only temporary, what they're going through and what has happened doesn't define them. It's what they can do with it going forward. I mean, that's powerful stuff. I know I've built some strong bonds with some of them and some of those folks, and they're doing more for me than I think I'm doing for them.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, that's great. Anybody else?
Yeah. Is there anybody on this team, if I could take over a little bit, that you were a little hesitant to do this, but you felt like the Holy Spirit was leading you to take a step to get out of your comfort zone, and you did this, and you were amazed of what God did. Anybody have a testimony to that effect? Yeah. Jump in, guys.
Hi, I'm Matt, Mark's brother. I also help lead the men's group, and I just want to say that a lot of these people need somebody to talk to. They're going through a struggle, and just being there for them is one of the things that they need. And I'm reminded of Matthew 5:16, be a light unto others so that they can find their way out of the darkness. Mm-hmm. So in our men's group, we covered integrity and influence. So being a man of integrity is through your actions, and that in turn will influence others to do the same.
Absolutely.
So, if you're interested, please come and talk to us. We're more than happy to share our stories with you guys.
Absolutely. Anybody else? Somebody else was going to share their testimony about?
Hi, my name is Duang Ippolito, and I went to help with the shelter. So we know that people will call them homeless, but homeless is not identity, it's just the situation. So it's just one of us go through life and stuck in this kind of journey. So my thought is this, that we not only bring food and drink, but we would like to bring the message of Jesus, who is the bread of life and the living water. So he is the foundation of everything and change situation for all of us. And I think for our team is that the hope that one day they will also see the way we see that someone that can change their situation is Jesus.
Absolutely, absolutely. Denise, come down here, Denise.
Yeah.
Oh, Phil, go ahead, Phil.
My name's Phil. I think it's important that you treat these people with dignity and respect, because they're people just like you. And I'd also like to add that Tracy Durante and the Chief of Police of Wausau have really stepped up and done their part in all of this, and they deserve credit.
Yep. Denise, so come closer here. All right. Tell us a little bit about, okay, so all these people, this is, like, it's this size of a group, just about every Tuesday night, just about everyone. Tell us a little bit about what the team does.
Sure. The shelter is open 7 nights a week. The folks come in, the doors open at 6 p.m., and people can come into the shelter for overnight stay until 9 p.m. What we do as a team, the physical part of it is we prepare and serve a meal, a hot meal. We help people check in to the shelter and just help people get settled for the night. But our main mission is to develop relationships and show love. And there are some people out in the congregation this morning, who are experiencing homelessness, you know, are at the shelter, and they're here. And we just are so honored that they're here to hear more about Jesus. But what we do at the shelter is help with the physical things as well as be a listening ear, show them that we care and that we love them and that we want to help them. Regardless of how people get in the situation they're in, that doesn't matter. I mean, Jesus never said, "I'll only help you if this is why you're here." Jesus helped everybody, and that's what we're here to do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to explain a little bit too. The shelter across the parking lot, I believe, is open starting November 1st. They were going to open. They have about 30 beds. The one that we are serving is at the Methodist Church downtown, and we've had up to 70 people in the nights, and it's getting colder, so there might be more. So these two are going to be in operation until the Bridge Street Mission is building or making a permanent shelter on Third Avenue. So, what's that? First Avenue, sorry. One of those avenues. We are serving at the Methodist Church downtown. And what we would love is for anybody who is interested, and maybe God's calling you and you're not sure about how you can help, we'd love to invite you to come on a Tuesday night, talk to any of us about coming and just seeing what it's all about. That's a great way being able to see what's happening. Also, there's other ways to serve. We're always looking for people to help us make food for the suppers. We're looking for people that can help us with communication to the congregation, to pray. The biggest thing is to pray. Pray for the folks who are struggling. Pray for their hearts. And pray for us that we can continue to plant seeds. Amen. Amen. Yep. And, yeah. Yep. We'd also love more people to help, because what's kind of in the back of our minds is the shelter runs 7 days a week. Now there's going to be two shelters, so there's a need for more help. What happens is there's only one paid staff person from 6 p.m. till 9, and then there are two paid staff people, but the rest of the whole thing is run by the volunteers. Okay. So we volunteer on Tuesday nights. We're hoping to get a group, enough people, that maybe another night we could cover for.
So there's an information meeting?
Yes, there's an information meeting after service in the fireside room if you'd like to ask any questions or want more information. The other thing I want to quickly say is there is no commitment. Like, if you come, don't feel like, oh my gosh, no, I'm sucked into coming every Tuesday night. That's not true. It's whatever you can do to serve. Let's say, hey, maybe I want to do a Tuesday night, but I can only do it once a month. That's okay, too. So come and meet with us. We have simple soup and bread and cookies after service if you have any more questions.
Okay. Quickly here, those who did not talk, the one word that you would say defines how you feel when you go home after serving at the shelter. Quickly, raise your hand.
Love.
What?
Amazed.
Humbled.
Humbled.
Love.
Loved. Say it loud and proud.
Fulfilled.
Absolutely. Can we just give these guys a round of applause? Thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for serving. Amen. All right. Do something. If it's not this, it's all good. Maybe God's not called you to that ministry. But what ministry has He called you to? I want to get into our message right now. Our challenge again in this season is to do something. We talked about this last week. We watched this video of this man who started Convoy of Hope. He said he never dreamed that it would turn into this, and it all started with a conversation. He was interviewing Mother Teresa, and she asked the question, "Young man, what are you doing to help the poor and the helpless?" And his response was, "I'm kind of ashamed to say, but I'm not doing anything." And her response is, everyone can do something. You see, every one of us in this room, those who are watching online, if you're a Jesus follower, you have been given an ability to bless someone. You have, whether you realize it or not, you've been given the means to give to someone. You have been given the capacity to serve someone. Everyone can do something. Everyone can do something. Title of my message is Shaped for This. I believe God has created us to do something, to impact the world around us. I love, this is one of my favorite passages. This is in your sermon notes this morning. Ephesians 2:10, in the Apostle Paul, he tells us, he reminds us of this powerful truth for all believers, Jesus believers, Jesus followers, raise your hand loud and proud. He's talking to you. He's talking to you in this message. He says, "For we, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. For we are God's handiwork, and we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to do something, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So first of all, he's saying a couple things here. First of all, you are uniquely created by God. Just look at your other neighbor and say, "I'm really unique. I'm really unique." I don't know if you noticed that about me. Or you could just tell the other neighbor and say, "I'm special. I am special." So you're unique. You're created by God. You are an individual, and you are created to do something. You've been created to do good works for the world around you. You are, God prepared this for you a long time ago. Those who are on the serve team that have stood up here today, God has been preparing you, whether you realize it or not, He's been preparing you for a while here, and you got the nudge to do something. And you're like, sometimes ministry's like that. Oh, man. I define it as a pastor. I've been in ministry 30-some years. Sometimes, not all the time, ministry can be just like this in your mind. Ministry can be like, oh, man, I don't really want to do that. Like, there's a football game on tonight. Or is this, I don't know if I feel like. Anybody ever get that feeling? Oh, man. Nobody's going to raise their hand to that. Ministry is so many times is doing the things that you don't always want to do, and then once you did it, it's the greatest thing you ever did, right? How many of you can testify to that? You go home like, I am so glad I did that. I'm so glad. You see, we're talking about good works here. We've been created to do good works. What does that mean? The Bible teaches that good works are the result of salvation. This is not about earning salvation. Okay, we're not doing good works to say, hey, God, did you see that? I helped out at the homeless shelter. How many points do I get? I probably get 30 points for that one. You got my 30 points, right? Please. Please, please be careful of that mindset. We do good works not out of obligation, but out of relationship. You see, I love my beautiful wife, Michelle. I'm so glad she had the opportunity to go on this missions trip with us. She doesn't always get to do that during the school year, and she sacrificed to do that. I try, and I know she goes out of her way to do good things for me. We try to bless each other. And the moment that it turns into, well, I have to do something good for her, we have stepped out of relationship and we've stepped into obligation. And I don't know if you've ever tried to do marriage or do a relationship out of obligation. How many of you know it doesn't work? It doesn't work. But when we do relationship out of love, not that I have to, but I get to. I look for opportunities too. And I love when she does it for me. It just makes me feel loved. It's based on our relationship. See, there's a difference between religion and relationship. Religion, catch this, is always about obligation. I have to. So when we were just in Moldova just the other day, it's crazy. We were going in the capital city of Chisinau, and we walked through this Orthodox church, and people were in there, and they were going through all of these rituals that they have to do because they want to go in and they want good things to happen to them. So if they want good things to happen to them, then they got to go and they have to do good things. And there was like this really long table and people were bringing food there to bless the priest and like sit there and waiting for their blessing and doing all these things. And it was just all about obligation. I have to. Each day we were driving to this one church that we were serving at. And there was a priest out in the middle of the road, the same spot, and he had a little bucket of water. And if you stopped and you paid him $40, he would throw water onto your car and you would be blessed for the rest of the day. I thought about that at the Grand Avenue. But I guess that would be kind of obligation and I don't know if that would be the safest thing, though. I don't know. You got that little, those light things. I don't know. I better step away. Step away. Religion is obligation. Relationship is I get to. I want to. You see, anytime you do good works out of obligation, you're operating in religion. Let me say that one more time. Anytime you're doing good works that these folks who are up here, and like, I have to, or God will give me good things, I'll get good credit with God if I do that, so I really don't want to, but I'm going to do that to get good credit from God, you're operating in religion. And Jesus came to set us free from religion. You see, a relationship with Jesus is not about religion. It is walking in relationship. So when we do good works, we're doing this to honor God. This is our spiritual act of worship. We do this to glorify God. You know that word glorify God, that phrase glorify God? I'm doing this to make Jesus shine. I hope, I pray that when I'm serving you, you see the Jesus in me. You see the Jesus in me. And then last of all, it feels good to bless people. I love it. Heather, you said the word fulfillment. Yes, fulfillment. I feel fulfilled when I get to bless people, when I get to serve Jesus in that way. Here's some good examples of good works. It's helping those in need, being generous and sharing with others, serving other people. I just a side note here. Last month, the month of October, was Pastor Appreciation. And some of you gave us cards, and some of you have come up and made comments to us. Thank you. And I just want you to know, we have a great team here at Thrive Church, right? Can we just give it a round of applause for our team here? I'm talking about, I'm not sure where they're at. Michael, where's Michael? Michael and Aiden, where's Michael and Aiden? Michael and Aiden is here. Pastor Sandy in the back. We got Jen Bierman, who works on our admin team. Man, we just got a great team here. They practice good works, not out of obligation, but because they get to serve. So what do you do then? So we're talking about do something. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? I want you to, we're going to get into the meat of the message here, and I want to talk about that you are shaped. You have been shaped by God. Each and every one of you is shaped differently. I'm not talking about your physical appearance here, but you have been shaped by God. The best thing you can do is to know your shape. What is shape? Shape is, how many of you have taken Growth Track at Thrive Church here? Growth Track is, I would encourage you to, if you would like to be more of a part of the team, you would like to be on the serve team of Thrive Church, or if you would like to become a member, then we require you to go through what is called Growth Track. And we meet, I think, every 6 weeks. And take you through this process, and there's four steps to this, and step we call it 301, the third step, you do this assessment, and that assessment is all about you. You have all kinds of discoveries that you learn about yourself in the shape assessment. So it is acrostic here. The shape stands for. Or S is spiritual gifts, H is heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. That's what I want to talk to you this morning about. I think if you're sitting there and like, yeah, I should do something. What would be the first thing I tell you to do is discover your shape. First of all, discover your spiritual gifts. If you are a Jesus follower here today, you have been given spiritual gifts. So the moment that you accepted Jesus in your life, he placed his Holy Spirit inside of you, and he just anointed you with spiritual gifts. And some of them are even supernatural. And I don't have time for that this morning, but there's multiple gifts that they're out there. They're distinct spiritual giftings, abilities given, and you are empowered by the Holy Spirit for ministry. Ministry, the word ministry, means to help other people. When you're involved in ministry, you are helping other people. Now, there's many different kinds of gifts. Let me give you a couple examples of those. There's teaching, there's healing, there's prophecy, there's serving. There's even one pastoring. I'm operating in my pastoral gifting this morning, and even my teaching gifting. And then there's this other thing which I'm not the best at, administration. Let me tell you, 1 Peter says this, 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift. Let me Let me just stop right there. Let that sink in. Each of you has been given a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them. You hear Paul say that? Don't just, I got this gift. I don't know if you notice I got this gift, but I'm sure you have. I got this gift. The gifts, the spiritual gifts, are not for our benefit, but spiritual gifts are always for the benefit of others. What good is a spiritual gift if you never use it? How are you going to ever change the world if you never use your spiritual gifts? So all of you have spiritual gifts, and the purpose is for the ministry of others. It's not about you. Now, let me give you an example here. So we had, I don't know how many people, we had 14, 15 people who are standing up here. Each of them, I've been there, and each of them have a different role that they play there in the shelter. When I've been there, I have seen in operation people who have administrative giftings. I have people who have the gift of evangelism, exhortation, which is encouragement. I saw faith demonstrated. I saw giving. I saw people who are giving the spiritual gift of mercy, shepherding, help. So these are just a couple examples of the spiritual gifts that I saw operate. For myself, I have discovered in ministry that my spiritual gifts are, number one, shepherding, which is the pastoral gifts. I love to help people grow in their spiritual journey. I love it. I feel like I was made for that. I'm in my sweet spot when I do that. But my other spiritual gift is leadership. I love to lead events, lead people, lead a church. Feel like there's a leader that is inside of me that's got to get out. But the third spiritual gift that I operate in is a spiritual gift called exhortation. I just love to encourage people. I just feel like God has just given me the ability to recognize the good in people. And so I use these spiritual gifts. I operate in it. But there's some spiritual gifts that I'm not the highest in. And so I just try to stay in my sweet spot. Everybody say sweet spot. It is so, so important that you as a Jesus follower discover your sweet spot. And when you find your sweet spot, live in that zone. Live in that zone. And so one of the best thing that you can do is to figure out what your spiritual gifts are is to take the 301 assessment. Take the 301. Discover your top three spiritual gifts and operate in them. So let me continue here. So spiritual gifts, number two is your heart. Your heart. Now your heart is your emotions. It's your dreams. It's your desires that you did. Just the things that get you excited. What are you passionate about? I believe God has put passions inside of you, things that, man, when you see it happening, you're just like, yes, I get excited about that. I want a heart, I just want you, God created you that way. Listen to Psalm 37:4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God, He put that heart, he put your heart inside of it. And I talk about the physical heart, but the things we get excited about. I just think in order to have a lasting impact, if we're going to make a difference in this world, your heart has to be in it, right? Your heart's got, we just know that when our heart's not into something, you always get average. Sometimes you don't even get average. But you know when your heart is in something. I don't know about you, but when I saw these people lined up, their heart is in this. Their heart's in it. I mean, and they're there all the time. Every time the door is open and they're the last to leave because their heart's in it. Can I ask you this morning, what is your heart into? What's your heart in it? We worked with this couple in Moldova, missionaries Troy and Heidi Dare, and I talked about that he grew up and got saved in this church and sacrificed a lot. Not the most desirable living conditions. And they sacrifice because their heart is in Moldova. They're wrestling right now, when they're getting close to retirement, talking about retirement. It is really kind of a wrestling match because we miss our kids, we miss our grandchildren. We just love the people of Moldova. We've invested our hearts so much into these people, and they're just, what are we going to do when we retire? Let me ask you, what stirs your heart? Here's a couple questions. What drives you? What pushes you to action? What group of people do you most want to help? When you're watching the news, what part of the news do you like, oh, somebody's got to do something about that? What needs are you most drawn to? What cause are you most passionate about? What would you do for God if money was not an issue? Money was not an issue. Who are the people you most want to help? What are the needs you feel most drawn to? That's your heart. I think we need to come to God and say, God, what stirs my heart? The third thing is your abilities. Everyone in this room has unique abilities, whether they are in leadership, communication, craftsmanship, whatever, your natural talents and your skills, okay? So thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness, by the way, to the church. You walked in today and you noticed that the floors at the entry point are torn up a little bit and the walls are torn up and we're getting new doors that are being put in, and we have a Aaron Moss who's leading a team to renovate the floors and do some of that work around there. That's not my special abilities, is to do things like that. But that's Aaron. Aaron is such a craftsman, and he has those unique abilities. Listen to what Paul says here for what we're supposed to do with our abilities. You know, we have so much ability around in this room, all these unique giftings that you have. This is what Paul tells us to do in Colossians. He says, whatever you do, whatever your ability is, whatever that special talent, whether you're really gifted with wood, you're really really gifted as an artist, you're really gifted as a worship person. Some of you are out there and you know that you belong up here on the worship team. There's some of you who are out there. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Man. And so whatever you do, you want to bless people, but you want to honor God with whatever you've been given. So whatever you do, whatever you do that you're naturally gifted at, whatever that is, work at it with all of your heart. Whatever that is, do it to glorify God. So let me ask you this. What specialized abilities have you learned over your lifetime that you excel at and you love doing? I'm not going to brag, but I'm really good at this. I'm really good at this. Well, whatever that is, Paul challenges us to do that, to bless others, to do something. Do something with your ability. And so I would challenge you this morning. Know your abilities. Find a place to use your abilities. And then put your whole heart into it. I'm almost finished here. P stands for personality. Personality is a combination of the natural behaviors, your emotions, your thought patterns, and motivations that define you. God created in you a unique personality. I'm looking around. I know so many of you. I'm just seeing so many different personalities in this room. So many different personalities. And God created that in you. Psalm 139 says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You see, God, when he was putting you together, he also injected inside of you a personality. And you know this, your personality plays a significant role in how you interact with others. So let me ask you this. Which one are you, your personality? We'll do a little deep dive. Are you introverted? Are you extroverted? Okay, so for me, I'm kind of extrovert. I get really excited around a crowd of people, but it's sometimes hard for me to have one-on-one conversation. You want to have a really in-depth, life-giving one-on-one conversation, go talk to my wife over here. But she is just so gifted with that. But I love to just see the big crowds of people. So introvert or extrovert, God created you that way. Are you self-controlled? Are you self-expressive? Are you just kind of a routine person, everything same as every day? Or do you like variety? Are you kind of cooperative or competitive? That's just a couple different things. Here's another thing that we use in the 301 assessment, shape assessment. We use what is called the DISC profile. Some of you in your workplace, you're familiar with the DISC profile. It talks about the four different personalities. There is the dominant personality, and these are results-driven people. They're very assertive, get things done. They know how to get things done. And then there is the influencer, and they're really outgoing, enthusiastic, and persuasive, really people-oriented type of people. But then there's the S, the steady person. This person is very supportive, very reliable, very patient, very collaborative. Let's get together and let's talk about this. And then there's the conscientious person, the very analytical, logical, detail-oriented, you know, the details. And then when you do this DISC profile, you discover that you're typically a combination of those people. So I am kind of an ID person. I just like, come on, this is going to be great. Let me give you a vision. We're excited about this. Yeah, let's do this. But D is like, no, seriously, let's get it done. No, let's go. And so you're probably a combination of those. So my question is to you, what are your unique personality traits and characteristics? How do you best interact with others to contribute to your community? And the last one is experiences. Our life experiences, both positive and challenging, have shaped us, haven't they? I love this passage in 2 Corinthians 1. And Paul is talking about he's talking to a group of people that have gone through a difficult time. We don't have the details, but they've gone through a difficult time. And God came and intervened in their lives and helped them. And now Paul is saying, hey, remember that time when God really showed up in your difficult situation? Yeah. You know how God used other people in that difficult situation? Yeah. Now it's your turn. You above all can understand that their experience. So I want you to listen to what he says. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. How many of you have ever been comforted by God before? He's the source of your comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles, listen to this, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. Experiences. You've gone through some cool experiences, some difficult experiences, some life experiences. Maybe in ministry, but you have some experiences that you need to share with others. See, you've been shaped for it. I love a gentleman who went on a missions trip with us, Chuck Oleg. Chuck, I love your story. Chuck is a gentleman who runs our Celebrate Recovery program here at our church. You can't run a successful Celebrate Recovery unless you have been there, done that. Chuck's been there and done that. He understands. God has comforted him. And now Chuck is taking his experience, and now he's sharing it with others. Just oftentimes just sharing his story, sharing his experience to comfort others. I love that. I love that about you, Chuck. Love that about you. As we close this message, we're talking about do something. The question is, What do you do when you don't know what to do? And I would say, man, I'm just know you're shaped to do something. And so I would tell you this. First thing you do, discover your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences. Take that assessment. And this is me. This is how God has shaped me. And then I would tell you this, second of all, once you understand your giftings, develop them. Develop them. Don't just I'm just going to natural giftings. But no, God's given you giftings, but let grow on them. Build them. Read books. Watch videos. Do something to make those giftings that God has given you even better. Number three, find your sweet spot. What is your sweet spot? Let me ask you, what is your sweet spot in this church? Some of you are like, it's right here. I'm sitting on it. It's not your sweet spot. Your sweet spot. What giftings? What spiritual giftings do you need to be sharing in this church? Is it in the children's ministry? Is it with the youth ministry? Is it greeting people at the door? Each and every one of you has gifts, and you need to share those. Those gifts are not just for your benefit. It's for the benefit of others. The fourth thing I would tell you to do is serve others. That word fulfillment, Heather, thank you for saying it again, fulfillment. If you are in your faith journey and you've been at it for a long time and you're like, I don't know, I just don't feel fulfilled, I would tell you it's because you're not doing something. Do something. And watch that fulfillment level rise up into you. Do something for the right reasons. And watch that rise up within you. That's why I encourage you, if you have taken the growth track, will you do me a favor this afternoon or this week? Will you go back and relook at your assessment? And just really know yourself. Self-awareness is so important. Discover, this is who I am. I need to live. This is my sweet spot. If you've not taken the growth track, and you're really interested in Thrive Church, I encourage you. You will learn so much more about our church and especially this assessment. This would be so good for you to learn. And then I would challenge you, if you've taken the assessment, get on the serve team. Do something here. Do something here at this church. This is a growing church here. I'm excited about the growth here. And one of these days, we're going to pull the trigger and we're going to move to two services. And we're going to need people to step up and do something. Will you make that you? Will you let that be? Not for me, not even for the benefit of the church, but for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. You're shaped to do something. Let us close this morning in this message. And I always want to do this. If you are here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He changes everything. And you're here today and you're feeling something knocking at the door of your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. Will you just let Him in today? Will you make today the day of your salvation? If that is you, would you just pray with me this prayer? Say, God, I need You. I recognize what You did for me on the cross. You died for my sins. I need to be forgiven. Cleanse me of my sins. Lord, make me more like You. I'm making the decision today to follow You, Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, before you leave today, will you go back to the guest center and we tell those really nice people sitting in the back there, I gave my heart to Jesus. And you tell them that they have a Bible that they're going to give you. It's a New Believer's New Testament, and it's got a lot of insights that are going to help you grow in your faith journey. But can I just close in prayer for the church? Because a lot of us are sitting in our sweet spot. And the Holy Spirit is challenging you to get out of the sweet spot. And I just want to pray a prayer in Jesus' name, Lord, that each person in this room would discover those spiritual giftings and operate in them. God, that You would speak to their hearts and challenge their hearts. that you would just put stirrings in their hearts of what they're called to do. Lord, I pray that you would just awaken the abilities in this room. Lord, I pray that you would just stir the personalities in this room. And God, I pray that there would be healing in our experiences so that we can be healers to other people, I pray. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Let's just give Jesus a praise today. Amen. Just a reminder, we would just pray about November 16th, the one-day offering. We are praying that there would be just an overflow. Our goal is $25,000, and we did 23 last year to serve 200 children in a third world country. Blessings on you as you go today.